Now then, it's a joy to have with us tonight Brother Claude Bonham. Brother Claude has many, many years made it possible for us to have a part in going to camp at the Pot of Gold Youth Camp down in Comfort, Texas. And last year, he turned it over to his son and his son's bride. And it's a joy to have Mark and Ann Bonham here. Mark and Ann, would you stand so our people can get acquainted with you? And you get acquainted with them, meet them, let them know how pleased you are to have them here. Brother Claude's going to be preaching to us tonight. But just before Brother Claude preaches, Brother Mark and Claude, his daddy, are going to sing for us. Thank you so much for coming, Mark and Miss Ann. God bless you. And then Brother Claude, God bless you, sir. Y'all come and sing. They're going to use the handheld mics for the special music, and then Brother Claude will use the lapel to preach. You know, he wants to run around and jump.
No. Mark, you know, you and I like to fish.
Yeah.
And there's yours right there. There's Dad's right there.
See in that? Church now, Brother Bonham.
Well, I sure know that's not Brother Smith's. But this over here might be Brother Smith's, this one here.
You had it right the first time.
Well, I see where it says 247 pounds.
No,
is
move on down.
330?
Move on down.
412?
Now look down.
Is that referring to your weight, Brother Smith? Oh, I'm sorry. But the way you and I ate tonight, we're going to get there, aren't we?
Yes, we can top that tonight.
Well, amen. Isn't it good to be here tonight?
Amen.
I'd rather be here than in jail. I'm very glad to see these deaf ones here tonight. God bless you.
Amen.
It's good to have you here tonight. It's good to speak to you. And I love you in the Lord. We have one full week of camp at the Potago Ranch that is nothing but deaf work and deaf people. They come from all over America. Last year there were about 70 deaf, and they had a wonderful week together. And I covet these folks, if at all possible, that they might get to come down and be with us sometime. God bless you. It's our joy to be here tonight. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. I wanted my son, I think he was here with me last year, the year before, I don't know which, but he's here with me again tonight. I wanted him to see you and greet you and get to know you as I do. This is one of the highlights of my year serving the Lord, to come and be with your preacher and you wonderful people. And I mean that sincerely. And I tell you how much I meant that when I heard about what was occurring in the life of this church when you were going to honor pastor and wife just a few weeks ago. It was my joy to drive up here and sit there and just with you say, praise God from whom all blessings flow for what God has done these 20 years. And to look forward to what the Lord's going to do in the days ahead.
Amen.
He's not through.
Amen.
And it's going to be a wonderful time to see what the Lord is going to do here in the days ahead. You pray for us. We're serving the Lord. By the way, you sang tonight. The lady played Standing on the Solid Rock in our hymnal at the church in Hondo, Texas, that you folks bought for our church when it started 4 years ago. That is the favorite song of our church. And those little kids and adults, boys and girls and teenagers, all just put their book down and sing, I'm Standing on the Solid Rock. And aren't you grateful you're on the rock, Christ Jesus, too? Mark and I would sing for you, and I hope that you're ready for this time when this morning comes. God bless you. Listen to these beautiful words.
They all walked away,
nothing to say. They just lost their dearest friend. The things that he'd said, now he was dead. So this was the way it would end. The dreams they had dreamed were not what they'd seemed. Now that he was dead and gone, the garden, the jail, man, the hammer, the nail, how could a night be so? Turned into day. The stone was rolled away. Hope rose with the dawn. Then came the morning. Shadows vanished before the sun. Death had lost and life had won, for morning had come. The angel, the star, the king from afar, the wedding, the water, the wine. Now it was done. They'd taken her son, and he was gone before his time. She knew it was true. She'd watched him die too. She heard them cry, "He's just a man." But deep in her heart, she knew from the start, somehow her son would live again. Then came the morning. Night turned into day. The stone was rolled with the dawn. Then came the morning. Shadows vanished before the sun. Death had lost and life had won, for morning had come. Death had lost and life had won, for morning had come, for morning had come. And I will meet you in the morning. Inside the eastern gate. Then be ready, faithful pilgrim, lest with you it be too late. I will meet you. Just inside the eastern gate over there, I will meet. I will meet you. I will meet you. Off to glory, linger near the eastern gate, for I'm coming in the morning, and you'll not have long to wait.
Sing with us.
I will meet you. I will meet you just inside the eastern gate over there. I will meet you. I will meet you. I will.
In one, two, what's after?
Doesn't matter.
Y'all heard about Bubba, the guy who was trying to graduate from Texas A&M, didn't you? Years of age and had passed everything except math. And the professor said, this is your absolute last year. If you don't make it this year, Bubba, forget ever getting your degree. And so he studied and studied, and the whole school wanted to know how Bubba was going to do on his test. And so the professor said, I'll tell you what we'll do. I'll give you the test right out in the middle of Kyle Field, out there in the football field, on a Saturday afternoon. Everybody can be there who wants to be there. And if you pass the test, you're a graduate of A&M. If not, you'll never be an Aggie. And so the appointed afternoon came, and there were 5,000 or 6,000 people out there in those stands. Bubba, Bubba, Bubba. Boy, they were having a time in their life trying to cheer their man on, and he's out there with the professor, and they're just getting ready to take the test. And he said, Bubba, I'm going to give you your test now. It's just going to be an audible test. We're going to make this very easy. And if you can pass this, then you'll get your degree. Bubba, Bubba, boy, just echoed all over the place. And he said, Bubba, listen good now. For your degree from Texas A&M, you passed everything but math. And for your math degree here, what is 4 plus 3? And Bubba had a long look on his face. And the stands were quiet. And he said finally to the professor, he said, teacher, is it 7? And it was real quiet. And then all at once, all the stands said, give him another chance. Oh, Lord. I had no idea we were going to do that, but I got to blend around that 2-3 business, and that popped into my mind. So, but let me tell you, who ought to have more wonderful a time than a Christian? We ought never act or look or feel like we've been weaned on a dill pickle, had razor blade cereal for breakfast, going around moaning the blues. I'm on my way to glory. glory. How about you? Amen. And I'm going to enjoy the ride. Amen. Chug holes, we'll just get right over them. And you know, I have reached that wonderful age. I'm 71 years of age. One of the ladies in church last week or two, I preached about this and said, God promises 70, and I'm already past that. And she said, preacher showed me that. And I was glad to show her that. But you know, us old folks are very valuable people. And I want you to... I don't appreciate that. Us old folks are very valuable people to have around. We're worth a fortune. Listen to me. I tell you, without a shadow of a doubt, we have silver in our hair. We have gold in our teeth. We have stones in our kidneys. We have lead in our feet. And bless God, we've got gas in our stomach. So we're very, 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 very valuable people. I read about an older lady, and she was writing about her lifestyle. And she said this, I have become a little older since the last time I saw you. And a few changes have come into my life since then. She said, frankly, I have become quite a frivolous old gal. I am seeing 5 gentlemen every day of my life. As soon as I wake up, willpower helps me get out of bed. She got it. Then I go to see John. Charlie Horse comes along, and he takes a lot of my time and attention. When he leaves, my very good friend Arthritis shows up, and he stays with me the rest of the day. When he goes, at the end of the day, after I've been very busy, I'm tired, and I'm glad to go to bed with Ben Gay. What a life! What a life! Did you hear about the preacher who went to see the person who was of this same age group and said to her, are you thinking about the hereafter? And she says, I do all the time. And he said, well, tell me about it. She says, wherever I go into the house, I ask myself, what am I hereafter? And if you've never done that, you will sooner or later, the longer we live in life. I tell you what, I'm enjoying my religion. I'm enjoying my age. I'm enjoying my blessings. My son and his dear wife are getting ready to have triplets. And we're just looking forward to this one. She's supposed to go tomorrow and find out just when those little ones are one, whatever will be here. And you join with us that God will give her and Mark a healthy baby. Brother Bob Smith is my dear friend. Don't ever come to say anything to me about my good friend Bob Smith. I don't have a better friend in the ministry than my brother who sits over here. He is a preacher's friend, and I want to tell this church again, as I've said one other time, you are very blessed. You not only have a wonderful preacher, but you have a wonderful pastor who loves his people. And I thank God that these years he's given me the joy of being here and preaching from this pulpit, and I don't take it lightly. One of the very first sermons I ever preached here, I'm going to preach a portion of that sermon tonight. For without what I'm going to preach tonight, none of us will ever make heaven. If you're not ready for heaven, somebody says, well, I sure hope I am. Somebody says, well, I'm going to leave that up to my priest to get me to heaven. I'll leave that up to my priest too. And my priest is Jesus Christ. He's my great high priest. And he has saved me through his precious blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. I want you to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 9 And if you're able, when you find the place in your Bible, please stand with me for the reading of the Word of God. The other day I preached in our church in Hondo about the great Bible reading in Nehemiah. For a week, every morning, the entire Israeli congregation stood and heard the Bible read from a pulpit of wood. By the way, I believe this church is scriptural, having a wooden pulpit. When you see this other stuff, it's certainly not what the Word of God talks about. We have a wonderful wooden pulpit there at Hondo. It is made from a bar that people came into that building and drank the devil's brew. And now, bless God, we've had people saved from the preaching of the Word of God from that wood that they used to drink beer from. Isn't that a blessing? Hebrews chapter 9, I read for your hearing, beginning with verse 1. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary, for there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold. Now watch this. Wherein was the golden pot that had manna. May I take just a second and stop? This is where the Pot of Gold Youth Camp gets its name. Right here in the Word of God, when we were searching for a name 42 years ago, Mother called Dad and said, "Daddy, Daddy, open to Hebrews 9:4 and see where there was the pot of gold that had manna." The place had been called the Pot of Gold, and Dad was thinking on changing the name. But we haven't changed the name. We've just added the manna, the Word of God. By the way, you know manna is angel food. Have you read Psalm 78? What He gave those children of Israel to eat is angel food from heaven. And that's what we want to give the young people, boys and girls, who come to the Pot of Gold, the Word of God. And this church is a great part of that. And we say thank you, praise the Lord. Read on with me now. Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once each year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made perfect, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. Bless God, look at verse 11. But Christ, being come in high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that he by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first covenant, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Quickly, look at verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Our Heavenly Father, we pray thy blessing now upon the reading of the Word of God. Do your perfect work in all our hearts, even beginning now with me. May thy Spirit deal with my spirit, and may what comes out of my mouth be pleasing in thy sight to this eternity-bound congregation. How grateful we are for the blood of Jesus Christ and for what it accomplished and will accomplish and has forever and ever. Praise God for the blood. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Be seated, everyone. One of the central themes of the Word of God we have just read about, and that is this matter of the blood of Jesus Christ. If you count them, over 700 times this word blood is found in your King James Version of the Scripture. I'm here to tell you that this is a bloody book. And if you were to take a red crayon or pen, and every time you find the word blood, under page after page, you'd find blood, blood, blood. Here in the chapter that we have read for your hearing, over 10 times the word blood is found. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. This is one of the central themes of the Word of God. Do you realize that when all this began, back in the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve sinned. They lost their covering that God had given them. They realized they were naked. They had lost everything that God had blessed them with. They had listened to the devil. By the way, many a man listens to the devil today instead of the Word of God. And you do well to listen to the preacher instead of some man on the street today who would laugh and say, this is a book full of holes instead of a holy book. I'm here to tell you there's not one error in this book. This is God's perfect Word. This is a living book. Hebrews 4:12 says, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. This book knows what you're thinking about right now. And it's got its answer for you and for me. Anyway, there in the book of Genesis, I bring you back to that place. Adam and Eve sinned, and God came to them and said, Adam, where are you? Knew right where he was. By the way, God knows right where we are. Don't ever try to doubt. Don't think you can be like Jonah. Jonah tried it. He went for a submarine ride down in the bottom of that ship and finally did what God wanted him to do. And you'll never be happy if God's after you until you do what God wants you to do. You're not here tonight simply by accident. None of us are just, well, I think I'll go to church. God has you here for a purpose. Please listen to the Word of God. And if you're not on your way to glory tonight, trust the blood of Jesus Christ to wash all your sins away. Past, present, future. Put them under the blood. That's why Jesus died on the cross. You'll find that there God killed animals, shed blood in the Garden of Eden, and covered Adam and Eve. Do you know that's what happened as a little four-year-old boy when Jesus came into my heart? Everything about this little fella then, by the way, a long time has gone, 67 years since that. And the other day someone said to me, "You, how much weight have you gained in all your years?" And I said, "Well, I still got my wedding suit on." They said, "Really?" I said, "Yes. I just can't button it or zip it, but I can get it on." And we all know what happens through the years. But in the beginning of time, Adam sinned, and we're all in the likeness of Adam. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, even after the similitude of Adam's transgression. And you need to have your sins covered just as his were covered. They were covered by the blood. We don't have time to look, but in the book of Exodus, when God finally spoke one final time to Pharaoh through Moses and said, I'm sending the death angel through this country tonight, and you sprinkle the blood on the doorpost, and you make that blood sprinkling there, and everybody is safe in there, and I'll pass over. By the way, Christ is our Passover lamb. Thank God for that. And you know, finally, as you go all through this wonderful book, you get way back in the book of Revelation, and you'll find the Bible says people will overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb. Thank God tonight for the blood of Jesus Christ. You know what this church sings? What can wash away my sin? Tell me. Amen. There is a fountain filled with... Amen. Saved by the... of the crucified one, your preacher's favorite, one of his favorite songs. And then the one we all sing together, there is power in the blood. Do you know one of the great denominations of America today, great in its own numbers, but not great before God, in their hymnal, have taken all of the songs that I just mentioned out of their hymnal. You know why? They want nothing in there that has to do with the blood. My friend, you better be grateful to God more than ever before for the blood of Jesus Christ. The Scriptures magnify the blood of Jesus. Listen to this. Acts 20:28 says, Christ purchased the church with His own blood. Romans chapter 3, verses 24 and 25 state this, that Christ is a propitiation for the believer through faith in His blood. Romans 5, 9 proclaims that we are justified by Christ's blood, just as if I died. Ephesians 1 and Colossians 1 both say that we are redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:19 proclaims we are redeemed with Christ's precious blood. Finally, as I told you a moment ago in Revelation 12:11, the 144,000 saints during the time of the great tribulation overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb. Listen with me. Praise the Lord for the blood. The purchasing blood, the justifying blood, the redeeming blood, the cleansing blood, the precious blood, the saving blood, the overcoming blood. Praise God for the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ will never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. My text says, without the shedding of blood is no remission. Interwoven throughout these scriptures, there is a story of redemption. This is a Bible that will teach you beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ came into this world and lived a sinless, spotless life. He was born of Mary the Virgin, and He was crucified on Calvary's cross. And the Bible says, out of His side came the blood and water mixed. He died, if you please, of a broken heart for you and me. I believe that blood is there in heaven today. That's my firm belief. Jesus Christ shed His life's blood for you and me. Not too many years ago, this Jolly Green Giant who sang with me was really injured in a great way at the camp. In fact, I believe it was while you were at camp. I didn't know if he was going to live or die. He got burned real bad. I could smell the smoke even on his body. And he was standing there jumping. I said, "Son, I wish I could take that upon me." And he looked at me and said, "Dad, you couldn't stand it." May I tell you, none of us can stand the sin problem. It must be taken care of by only one person, and that is Jesus Christ. Oh, we love each other on this earth for what we do one for another. But let me tell you tonight, if you'll understand what I'm saying, I'm in love with the one who loved my soul, who came to this world and shed his life's blood that I might have full forgiveness of all my sins. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world, why can't I love my God? Why can't I show him how grateful I am? Not just that he's keeping me from going to a place called hell, but I can live for Christ who died for me." Only one life will soon be passed. Only what you do for Christ is going to last. May I tell you that the blood of Jesus Christ was perfect blood? I've already mentioned that. May I tell you also it was innocent blood? Judas said, "I have betrayed the innocent blood." Not only was it perfect, not only was it precious, but if you please, we read earlier for you hearing, it was the blood of Almighty God. And that blood is the only way you'll ever get to glory. You can't go to some ticket window. You walk up there. "I want a ticket to watch the Cowboys lose. I want a ticket to watch the Cowboys. And you'll buy a ticket. Or if you come down to San Antonio and you really want to get religion, you'll walk up there and say, "I want a ticket to watch the Spurs play." And thought I'd get one there. They're going to play the Mavericks the very first game this year. The NBA, the Spurs will be here in Dallas to play the Mavericks. Good luck. And we'll see what happens. And if Spurs lose, just send me a little note and says, "I told you so." Will you do that? But I'm here to tell you, you can buy tickets to everything, but you don't buy a ticket to glory. That ticket has already been purchased. It was purchased at Calvary's cross. And the only way you can buy that ticket is to say, "Lord, I give you all my sins." Why, you know, we all are very foolish if we don't have life insurance policies on our physical lives. May I tell you something much more foolish than to not have an insurance policy on your never dying soul? The Bible teaches you and me that our soul will spend forever either in a devil's hell or with the Lord in heaven. Somebody once said to me, "Well, I'm not afraid of going to hell. I'll be down there with all my friends." I always like to tell them, "Well, I'll tell you what. You go home tonight, turn that gas jet on there in the kitchen, walk over there and just stick your hand for about 30 minutes in that and feel those nice flames. Boy, it's going to be great in hell." You're a fool. You're an idiot. You've lost your mind forever and ever and ever in a devil's hell. The Bible says hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. And if you go there, you go there over the bleeding, wounded body of Jesus Christ. Please put your faith and trust in him tonight. I want to tell you about what happens over in the Georgian Islands when someone loses a loved one. Someone wants to go and be a comfort to that person. Listen to this. They go and they get one of the teeth of one of the sharks that they have caught through the years, and they'll take that tooth of a shark and they'll get an apron. And they'll sit down and put that apron under their arm and take that shark tooth and cut themselves and let all some blood go onto that apron. And then put that apron out in the sun and let it dry. And once that has dried completely,
they will go and see that loved one who has lost a loved one and said, "Here, this is from me. I give some of my blood in remembrance." May I tell you, that's a perfect picture of what Jesus did for you. Except even more wonderful, it's not just taking care of something that you might have remembrance of. Oh, somebody said, "Preacher, if I trust Jesus like that, that he'll wash all my sins away in his blood, I would go out and sin all I want to." May I tell you, this preacher sins more than he wants to. You will too once you're in love with the Lord Jesus Christ for what he's done for you. You'll want to serve him. As the little chorus goes, "The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows." And it's certainly true. I have yet to meet someone whose hair is frosting for eternity. And I go to them just as they're about to die, and they say, "Oh, preacher, I wish I had my life to live over again. I'd live it for the devil." No, it's always, "I wished I would have given my heart to Jesus quicker." Won't you tonight, right where you sit, will you muse with me for just a few moments about what preacher has tried in his very humble way to tell you about? I hate to even think that someone who might have heard my voice tonight might someday spend forever in a devil's hell. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's that easy. Right where you sit, turn it all over to the Lord. Open your heart up to him. And even as I'm preaching to you, to say silently to yourself, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me for Jesus' sake." Repent of your sins, and in simple childlike faith, let him be Lord and Master of your life. Will you do that? If I stood here and opened up my billfold and pulled out a $100 bill, by the way, there's not any in there. But if I pulled out a $100 bill and I said, "Whoever comes here, the very first one, can have this $100 bill," why, the place would be a... I guess my son would get here first, I don't know. But somebody would come and soon have $100. May I say to you, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Brother Bonham, I'm too big a sinner. No. The Apostle Paul said he was the biggest sinner. No one is too big a sinner that Jesus Christ can't save you. Won't you do that tonight? By all the wounds of Calvary, listen to this preacher. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And you don't have to do anything else. That water there in that baptistry doesn't wash away your sins. That water in the baptistry is an answer of a clear conscience towards God after you've been saved by his blood. That water goes into the sewer. How can that wash away sins? It is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Please listen to me. Maybe before you've never heard, but tonight, in the great plan of Almighty God, this preacher from Hondo, Texas, has stood before you and told you something that to you just says, "I've never heard that before." You heard it tonight. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Let's pray together. Now, Heavenly Father, we come to thee, an eternity-bound